For APR News, I'm Mackenzie Bates in Opelika.
Pat Duggins, APR News in Andalusia.
For APR News, I'm Stan Ingold in Phil Campbell.
I'm Alex Aubuchon, Alabama Public Radio News in Tuscaloosa.
Practicing. It hurts. He was my best friend.
Erica Fikes is Philip Anderson's youngest daughter. She says she got the phone call from her father's cellmate saying that Anderson had been screaming in pain for a week. Only then, his family claims, did jail officials take him to a hospital. Anderson later died on the operating table from a perforated ulcer. Kimberly Coates is his oldest sister.
We went down thinking that he was fine because the chief told us that he was fine. And we went to the hospital, and that's when the doctors told us that he had passed away.
Mike Hubbard was not immediately taken to prison because an appeal is pending. He was found guilty last month of using his political position as Alabama House Speaker and former state GOP chairman for personal gain. Defense lawyer Bill Baxley maintains that Hubbard was innocent.
Mike Hubbard and his family have been the victims of a witch hunt. He is one of the very few people that I have ever known of that a jury's convicted that I believe with all my heart is innocent.
Hubbard will also have to pay $210,000 in fines.
When news accounts of Halsell's arrest first came out, it looked like members of the press didn't know what they had.
We are learning new details in another deadly accident. This one claimed the lives of two children in Tuscaloosa County.
TV news reports on the June 6th traffic crash looked like any other, at least at first. Alabama state troopers say Halsell was driving a rented car that crashed into the Ford Fiesta carrying 11-year-old Naomi James and 13-year-old Jayla Parler. Both girls were killed, and their father and a woman in the car were hospitalized. It was 24 hours later that news outlets realized Halsell had a previous career.
3, 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Atlantis with the Russian docking module, the threshold to world cooperation in space.
The man accused in the deaths of Naomi James and Jayla Parler had flown to space 5 times aboard NASA's space shuttle. This blast off in 1995 was Halsell's second mission.
But this sport means a little more to Robbins. It's the first game where he is officially amazing. That's the saying the Guinness Book of World Records recognizes you. Robbins is now the oldest polo player in the world.
I'm glad to be here at 85 playing polo.
That's right. Today is Robbins' birthday. He's 85 years young and playing a game where you hit a ball with a mallet while at times riding full speed on a horse.
I remember the first time I got up, I got a hold of a polo mallet and it felt like a tree, a log, you know, so unwieldy. I said, Lord, have mercy, how do you wheel this tree around?
Roy Moore is no longer the Chief Justice of Alabama. Last week, a majority of the Alabama Court of the Judiciary decided to suspend Moore for the remainder of his 6-year term as punishment for ethics violations. The charges relate to Moore's role in the controversy over same-sex marriage in Alabama. APR's Alex Aubuchon has been following the Chief Justice's case. He has this report on reactions to the trial and what may be coming next.
At Chief Justice Moore's summary judgment hearing in August, supporters of traditional marriage outnumbered supporters of gay marriage by a wide margin. At the official trial, that scale flipped.
This is the first time that this many equality groups have come together.
That's Ambrosia Starling, a drag queen and civil rights activist who has been a thorn in Roy Moore's side from the beginning.
Normally before you see one or two, but today there must have been somewhere between 7 and 9 equality organizations that all joined forces today to be sure that, you know, that the LGBT community was fairly represented on the day.
Alabama's prison system has been in the news a lot this year, and not for good reasons. Inmate riots, allegations of mismanagement and corruption, and a failed prison building plan in the state legislature have pointed out plenty of problems. The Alabama Public Radio News team has spent the past several months examining what happens as people go into the state's prison system and what happens when they come out. Today, APR's Pat Duggins examines what happens to people who are convicted of crimes they didn't commit. It appears not much.
If you had just been released after 3 years on Alabama's death row, what would be first on your to-do list?
Well, hug my kids and family and...
Randall Paget lives in Guntersville.
Touch a tree, touch some grass. I think a tree was the first thing. Well, no, I had to walk across the grass to get to the tree.
Padgett was convicted for the murder of his estranged wife in 1990. He was exonerated 7 years later. As a free man, you might think Padgett has every reason to be happy. He's not.
I lost my home and 32 acres of land, my job, and probably between me and my family, probably spent $200,000 on attorneys.
All for something an Alabama jury says he didn't do.
You're going down in this, man. Look at this.
If you've never been inside Alabama's Atmore prison, don't worry. Back in March, Atmore came to you.
I'm getting y'all an old-cold look at what we're in.
This cell phone video was shot during riots at the prison. Inmates set fires, attacked guards and the warden. The violence was supposedly sparked by overcrowding. Rufus Ricks knows the problem firsthand.
At lights out, it would be quiet. People would be asleep. But now, it's not like that no more. It's always somebody awake and people always moving around because it's just so crowded.
Rick spent 20 years in an Alabama prison on robbery charges. He's been housed in several of Alabama's 14 prisons during his sentence. So he's seen a lot.
I just want what's right for my brother.
Jody Kirkland is from Andalusia. Her brother, Roy Doster, is on Alabama's death row.
Because he didn't kill that man. I don't know about the one in Texas, but Texas ain't trying to kill him.
Putting it lightly, the Alabama judicial system doesn't consider Roy Doster to be a Boy Scout. Both killings occurred after he broke out of jail in Covington County. That's why Doster's on death row.
It was complete misery. It's like being in a nightmare you can't wake up from.
If anybody knows what Roy Doster is going through, it's Randall Padgett of Guntersville. He spent 3 years on Alabama's death row. He remembers when he first arrived.
Well, I got down there at night. It was about 10:30 at night, and didn't have any light in my little cell, and I'm scared, you know.
His screams were not only ignored and rejected, he was belittled. He was called a faker and a malingerer.
Attorney David Schoen is representing the Anderson family in a lawsuit. He alleges the staff at the Tuscaloosa County Jail sat and watched as Anderson screamed in pain from a bleeding ulcer. When he finally received medical attention, it was too late. Anderson is not alone in Alabama.
Guys have died in lockup, beating on their door. Seriously.
This is the first thing prisoners hear when they enter the Alabama prison system. It's also the last thing when they come out.
They give you a bus ticket and a check for $10, and they say, have a nice life.
That's Brenda Lee Kennedy. She was incarcerated in the Montgomery Work Release Center for nearly 5.5 years before being released in November of last year.
They put you out of the gate, they take you to the bus station, and you're free. You are thrust back into society with absolutely nothing.
It's a common complaint among ex-convicts. After what could be decades behind bars, inmates are dumped back into society essentially on their own. Critics call it the second sentence.
All week long on Alabama Public Radio, we're looking back on the tornadoes that hit the state 5 years ago on April 27, 2011. 12% of Tuscaloosa was destroyed, over 50 people were killed, and countless lives were changed forever. The very first victim of the tornado APR met face-to-face was Steve Miller of Tuscaloosa. Now, 5 years later, APR's Pat Duggins checks in to see how Miller is doing.
Is it 5 years? Oh my gosh.
Steve Miller has come a long way since April 27th, 2011.
Yeah, we're standing right by the front door here, Pat, and that door would have been unavailable in the old house because it was totally blown out and covered up with roof stuff.
Miller lives in Tuscaloosa's Hillcrest neighborhood. His new home has lots of windows and plenty of art on the walls. You might not think anything was out of the ordinary, but the first time APR visited here, things were a lot different.
All we could hear were sirens, and then at night, houses going up in flames around. You know, we could see that there were houses burning.
Wind out of the west at 14 now. That's ahead of a cold front that's going to be coming in later on tonight. There could be a shower or two with that, but the risk...
Ask anyone in the TV news business, and they'll tell you people tune in mostly for the weather.
Annapolis. But look at the winds out there, 21 in Jasper, 21 in Sylacauga. Out in the west, that direction will shift around to north.
And on WVUA-TV, that's Richard Scott's job. Some days it's hot, some days there's rain. Then there was April 27th, 2011.
Again, we're looking at a large wedge tornado on the west side of Tuscaloosa, moving into the city of Tuscaloosa right now.
I have no idea. I can't answer this to this day. I had a cold chill run.
One of the main reasons the Vortex Southeast study got funded is the extremely high number of tornado-related fatalities that occur in the Southeast. Even though the majority of tornadoes occur on the Great Plains, the vast majority of tornado deaths are concentrated in the Southeast. Why is this happening? Researchers have some likely culprits. One is population density.
In Alabama, people live on every dirt road. There's always a church.
That's Kevin Laws, Science and Operations Officer at the National Weather Service in Birmingham.
You're going to have someone be impacted by almost every tornado in the Southeast, and that's a big difference between here and the Plains.
Another issue, according to...
When APR first covered the Phil Campbell disaster, we were told the story of Alex Jackson. She was in ninth grade at Phil Campbell High School when the storms hit.
I watched them get a body out from under a tree, and I mean, it was just like... It just hit me. People are gone. People's houses are gone. Nothing's going to be the same. I mean, my brother lost two friends. And I mean, I've never seen my brother break down like that. It was hard.
We caught up with Alex a year later to see how she was doing.
I still think about it, but it's like I don't know how to explain it, but like that's the reason that we're here.
I'm Alex Aubuchon, Alabama Public Radio News. We'll hear today's forecast from Peter Crank, meteorologist with the WVUA Weather Center, in just a moment. Presidential hopefuls flooded the state of Alabama this weekend. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton spoke at Miles College in Birmingham, while Florida Senator Marco Rubio made two stops at Samford University in Homewood, Alabama, and the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center. Businessman Donald Trump also made an appearance in Huntsville. Hillary Clinton had her audience at Miles College imagining what it would be like if she were to become the next president of the United States.
You know, I believe in building ladders of opportunity for people, knocking down the barriers that stand in the way, and that begins with economic barriers. So I want to thank the mayor for doing what he tried to do to raise the minimum wage in Birmingham.
More visits are still possible today as Dr. Ben Carson makes his way to Montgomery to help shore up votes for Tuesday. Fans of the writer Harper Lee came from as far away as Maryland over the weekend for a candlelight vigil in Lee's hometown of Monroeville for the author who died just over a week ago. APR's Pat Duggins was there. He files this report.
I once was lost.
The group of 30 fans was small but devoted, both to Pulitzer Prize winner Harper Lee and her classic To Kill a Mockingbird. Jeannie Anderson of Lake Village, Arkansas, says she was in the ninth grade when she first read Lee's story about Scout, Boo Radley, and Atticus Finch.
I found out my friends started texting me that she had passed, and I knew I had to be here. This is history. This is something that the entire world has lost. And they don't even realize it.
Harper Lee died in her sleep at the age of 89. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Monroeville.
Dozens of weather scientists from across the country will be gathering in Huntsville for a major study on how tornadoes form in the South. Vortex Southeast is a research project based in Huntsville that will run through March and April. About 40 weather researchers will use mobile radar, drones, and other equipment to study tornadoes in the region. Social scientists will also be speaking with residents of the Southeast to dig into the psychology behind tornado warnings and figure out the best ways to get people to take action when tornadoes are likely, especially at night. Researchers are also hoping to shed some light on a few of the mysteries of southeastern tornadoes, like whether the landscape of the South gives the twisters any added strength. And a new study from Auburn University has examined Alabama's banking industry and revealed some regulatory concerns. Now your forecast.
The cloud cover this morning will move on out by afternoon from north to south across the state. Temperatures will still be warm. We'll see the mid-60s for the northern half of the state, lower 70s as you head further to the south. Clearing skies throughout the afternoon hours, but we'll see a few clouds return by evening. I'm WVUA's Peter Crank, and that's your local forecast.